had a little incident. We used to do gunnery for that cannon, that 37-millimeter cannon. Either was in Lake St. Clair or Lake Huron. I've forgotten which one it was now. And I was coming back one Sunday, about 1,500 feet in P-39, flying along. Engine quit. Well, by the time I got myself together, I guess I was about 800 feet. Now, when I was taking pilot training at Hampton, the instructor out there drilled this in us. Before we got in the airplane, he said, keep airspeed, keep airspeed, keep airspeed, till we didn't want to hear it anymore. But when that engine quit, I got airspeed. You put the nose down, you don't pull it up, you put the nose down. One comment I want to make, I think every pilot, unless the airplane is blown up, I think every pilot thinks he can bring it in. And I didn't think 2 minutes about what's going to happen or whatnot. I'm going to bring it in. And there were two trees and a hell house. Well, I'm not going to hit the house. I split the two trees, sheared the wings off the P-39. It's Yale, Michigan. Metropolis of Yale, Michigan. Anybody know about Yale, Michigan? It's a little town going to from Detroit to not Lansing, Flint. Well, the whole population came out when the plane crashed. They would come out. All 100 of them came out. And I have my flying suit on, my goggles, my oxygen mask, my parachute. And they came out and says, were you flying that? I said, no, I wasn't flying that. Now, I came up from supposedly the place where people don't know anything to great state of Michigan. And that's what they asked me when I walked away from that airplane. Well, when they finally decided I was flying that, the reporter came out to interview me. So she asked me, what did you do when you were growing up? I said, I went to school like anybody else. And when I said I finished high school, they were real taken back. Then when I told them I had a degree from college, they didn't believe it. Then they asked me, did you pick cotton when you were, I said, do they teach geography in Michigan? I said, they don't grow cotton in Kentucky. They grow a lot of tobacco, but no cotton. Well, to top this off, I called the base, and I never will forget the command officer of the Selfridge Army Air Base. His name was Selway. I called him to say that I had an accident. And you know what first thing he said, did you damage the plane? I said, no, I didn't damage the plane. You send somebody up here and they'll fly it off. Well, so much for that. Now, the group went over about a week before Christmas in 1943. And I, being young and crazy and whatnot, I went to the hospital and got two operations at the same time. And I didn't go with the group. I went later. And a group of us, that went, 10 of us, went as replacements. We landed in Oran, North Africa. And we were supposed to get some training before we joined the group. But we didn't. So we joined the group in Naples. The airport there was Capodichino. And our first mission was to fly patrol over the battleship because Clark and the Fifth Army was going up to capture Rome. And they softened up the beach by bringing in a battleship. And we were to patrol, keep the Germans from coming in and dropping bomb on the battleship. Now, how many of you have actually seen a battleship? I don't mean a picture. What impressed you about a battleship? Huh? I don't think there's something here. Huge. Yeah, it's more than big. It's huge. But you could disable the battleship if you drop a bomb in the right place. You probably wouldn't sink it, but you could disable it. And then they had to send it back to the shipyard, which was back to the United States. It'd be out of service maybe a year, at least 6 months. Well, we did not stay there. This was with the 12th Air Force. We did not stay with the 12th Air Force very long. By the way, we were flying P-39s for the patrol. We went to the 15th Air Force. We flew the P-47 for a short time, and then we finally got the P-51D. Now, I've seen some P-51s in pictures and whatnot, but about the Tuskegee Airmen flew, but we did not. We got the D. That was the latest one at the time with the bubble top. The P-47. Some people ask me what plane did you like to fly the best. You know, I said it depends upon what you have to do. Now, for actual fighting, it was the P-47. The Thunderbolt. It was built for high altitude, 45,000 feet. Of course, when they got it built and whatnot, the Germans weren't up there, but it could fight further down, too. Had 8 machine guns on it, 8 50-caliber machine guns. Radial engine, I think it had about 2,500 horsepower, 18 cylinders. Rugged. Some people asked me about landing. Was it easy to land? And I told them, I said, when you're in the jug, the Thunderbolt, and you come in, when you come in on your glide, and then you break it, actually, you stalled it out really to land. Now, when you broke it, it's going to land whether you want to or not. It weighed over 9 tons when we went on a mission with all the ammunition and the fuel. Now, it took it had an auxiliary tank, but it didn't. It had more fuel in the auxiliary tank than the inside tank. So as soon as you took off, you switched to the auxiliary tank, because if you get in a fight, you will drop it. But now if you stayed on the internal, you may not get back home. We did not, as I said, fly the P-47 very long, because we were assigned to escort the bombers, and that's when the P-51 came in. It had the range necessary to escort the bombers. We still had to have auxiliary tanks, one on under each wing. P-51 was it's a good plane. It was fast, and as I said, with the tanks, it had range to escort the bombers. I flew 63. They had designation sorties and missions. The combined sorties and mission, I flew 63 altogether. My aim was to go over, fly my missions, and come back home. If the Germans didn't bother me, I wasn't going to bother them. And I guess as I stand here, I was successful in my mission. When I came back from overseas, I took a course for multi-engine. And the multi-engine we had was the B-25. I was instructing the B-25. Now, when we went through, and by the way, 42 of us started out in my class, 22 of us graduated, which was a good percentage that finished, and only 2 of us alive today that I know of. That's how we are fading out. I was separated from the service in 1947, and I joined the reserves. a little thing about that. But my family, mostly boys and whatnot, and we always had something going all the time. At one family reunion, when he found out my oldest brother and I joined the reserves, he said, "You cats are crazy." I said, "Oh, we're crazy, huh? Okay." Yeah, he said, "Yeah." I said, "Why you say that?" He said, "Have another war, they're going to call you back." I said, "I got news for you. If they have another war, they're going to call you before they call me. Because I have rank, and they're not particular about black officers being in the service. So I wasn't worried." Then at one reunion after, I guess it was after we retired. We had a reunion. And I asked him, I says, "Now, who is crazy?" I said, it's good, okay. I said, "I hear from Uncle Sam every month. I don't even have to take my check to the bank. It's done electronically. Now who's crazy?" Well, I was just a little, after I got out and tried to get a job in Detroit, GM wasn't hiring me. And I didn't go to Chrysler. They may have, but Ford did. So as I tell folks, I buy Ford products to this day. Now, at one time, their products weren't too cool, but none of them in the big three were too cool. So that's what I drive now, Ford products. Stayed in the reserves, and I left Ford. I knew I wasn't going to stay when I went there. I signed up for courses at Wayne State University. And my advisor and I had a disagreement as to what I should write my thesis on. And we didn't agree, so I said, "The heck with you," and I left Wayne State. That's all I had to do was write my thesis. Went up to U of D. And in less time than I would have gotten it at Wayne State, I got it at U of D. I went to the post office when I left Ford Motor Company. And here again, I ran into some difficulties. Just before they put the electronic sorting machines in, they asked the postage, anyone that had any background in electronics to apply. Three of us, all black, had background in electronics. In fact, I had a certificate for an electronics officer, and I didn't even hear from him. And the other two, I think they may have heard from him, but I told him, I said, if this were the United States run their business, I'm going to go somewhere else. Meanwhile, I went back down to the Board of Education, and went down there to get substitute work. And a friend of mine told me, "You're not going to substitute one day." I said, "Okay, I got this far." And sure enough, she was right. If you remember, Russia put Sputnik up in the late 50s. And all at once, by the way, my major was mathematics, minor in chemistry. All at once then, mathematics became important to Detroit public school system. But they still weren't liberal enough to have black males in high school. My degree was in secondary, not primary. Now, if I had primary, I could have gone in the system before that. But I don't want to do anything that I don't know what I'm doing or train for it. And elementary school was not for me. I retired from the reserves in 1981 with the rank of Lieutenant Colonel. And that's about the story of my life thus far.
Colonel?
Yes.
We'd like to, I'm Sam Bass. I kind of had to go, so I'm going to be your moderator for the rest here. Okay. Glad to meet you, sir. We'd like to spend a little time answering some questions, if you don't mind.
Well, I've gotten to that point.
Okay, all right.
Right now.
Any questions?
Any questions?